All right, thanks everyone for coming. I appreciate your interest in the program. Basically, I'm going to be presenting on the Cure Violence, Violence Prevention Model. As you can see, I'm an employee of the Cure Violence program, so I do have that financial relationship. So if you guys are looking at your materials and wondering what where ceasefire is and why I'm talking about Cure Violence is the new name for the ceasefire violence prevention program. So what we were doing is we were trying to look for a name that really placed us within the public health community, because we are a public health approach to violence prevention, as opposed to a criminal justice approach or something typical like that. So we really wanted a name that reflected that, and Cure Violence does that for us. It represents violence as a health issue, which is how we see violence. So violence is a health issue. The good news about violence being a health issue is that we know how to treat epidemics. We have systems in place that have been proven across many different epidemics and have been very effective. First thing that we do is you interrupt transmission. So with diseases like tuberculosis or something like that, you would take the people that are coughing and you'd remove them from the population so they wouldn't transmit that disease to other people. With violence, what you do is you take conflicts that are about to take place and you stop those conflicts before the community can be exposed to that violence and therefore be affected by that violence, because exposure to violence does cause people to be more at risk of committing violence themselves. Second element, you identify and change the thinking of the highest risk transmitters. So these are the people that are most at high risk for perpetrating violence. So in another public health model, in AIDS prevention, what you would do is you would look at the people with the high-risk sexual behavior, and you try to change their behavior about how their sexual behavior. You'd encourage them to use condoms. Same type of approach with violence prevention. We look at the people most likely to commit violence, and we work with them over time to change how they think about the use of violence. And three, change group norms. What this is using the social pressure and using that against violence so that you can decrease violence with social pressure. An example of this in the public health community would be smoking programs, where you use social pressure to try to encourage people to quit smoking, either through public education or just through the social pressures that we have. Like, for instance, today nobody here is smoking, and it's not because there are police here that would stop you from smoking, but there's social pressure here that if somebody started smoking, they would, the group would put pressure on that person to not do that. So that's the same type of thing that we want to do with violence prevention. We want to use that social pressure to decrease violence. So here's what it looks like as a logic model. Here's how those three components lead to reducing violence. And, I would just point out that this logic model is very similar to what any kind of public health approach would look like. If you had a HIV prevention program, you'd be looking at these same types of components. The wording would be a little different. We'd be talking about HIV instead of violence. But this is a very typical public health approach to violence. So you might be familiar with those components, these three components, but you might be a little less familiar with exactly how this takes place in violence prevention. What does it look like on the ground? How does the Cure Violence model how do we implement it? So I have identified here nine essential elements of the Cure Violence approach, and I'm going to go over these with the rest of the time that I have today, so just so you can have a better understanding of what this program looks like. Now, there are more elements to the program. There's more that goes into this program. These are the essential elements, really what you have to have in place in order to have a real Cure Violence model. So starting with the first component, interrupting transmission. What this basically is mediating conflicts. So there's conflicts that are occurring in a community. We mediate them before they can turn lethal. And Kobe's going to talk a little bit more about that when he presents today in a few minutes. But it's stopping exposure, because exposure to violence creates situations where the people that are exposed are more at risk of perpetrating violence. So the different aspects of this, the essential elements. First, you need to hire culturally appropriate workers in order to do this type of conflict mediation. What that means is you need to hire people from the community. You need to hire people that are racially similar, ethnically similar to the target population, and they have to have experience in this violent culture. Basically, if you are going to be talking to people that are about to commit a violent act or thinking about committing a violent act, they have to trust you. If you don't have that trust, then you're not going to be able to have that conversation. Here's what it looks like. in reality. We have here a ceasefire worker on the left. We have a couple of young adults that he's talking to. This conversation would not be taking place if I was in the ceasefire worker trying to have this conversation. I wouldn't have the same sort of trust that this worker does. So he's able to have this conversation. He's able to work with these individuals and mediate conflicts. Second essential element, you have to have a method for identifying where these conflicts are. You can't just go out in the street and expect these conflicts to be made known to you. You have to be talking to the right people, intercepting whispers. You have to have relationships with people in the community so they'll tell you what's going on. You have to know the right places to go, the hot spots, where parties are, where liquor stores are, things like that. And you have to know the right dates. You have to know if there's an anniversary of a shooting that might prompt another shooting. You have to know if a shooting just took place. You have to know if somebody is just getting out of jail. You have to have a method in place for identifying where these conflicts are so you can act on them. And this is what it looks like. These are some ceasefire workers. They're in a hot spot in a community, in their community, and they're talking to people on the street, finding out what's going on. This is what our work looks like. The third essential element, you have to have effective mediation techniques. This is very dangerous work. If you just go in and just expect to talk to people without any training, you're going to have a difficult time and you're going to put yourself in a dangerous situation. So we really train our workers quite vigorously. We have initial training before we put anybody else out on the streets. We have follow-up trainings. We have weekly meetings where everyone goes over their different techniques. This is very sophisticated work and really requires a lot of training and a lot of work together so that you can have a proper mediation. But there are ways that you can mediate these conflicts. And so this is an example of what it might look like. Here are a couple cure violence workers. They're talking to an individual, and he's challenging his thinking. He's asking him to rethink his use of violence, and that's what it looks like when it's taking place. So the second component is identifying and changing the thinking of the highest risks. What this basically is this is outreach work. It's sort of a mentoring type relationship where we're working with people one-on-one over a period of months, sometimes years. It's really intensive outreach work. So the essential elements of this, first we have culturally appropriate workers once again. And again, this is all about trust. You have to have trust with the people you're working with. You're working with them over time. That person that you're working with has to feel like you understand where they come from and you understand what they're going through. And so we hire the only people that can really bring that sort of understanding to their work. And this is what it looks like. This is our outreach team from West Garfield Park in Chicago from a few years ago. These people are able to do what they do because the people they work with trust them. And they bring that sort of experience and trust to their work, and that's why they're so effective. This team was able to reduce violence in their community by over 60% for shootings. Second element, you have to have a caseload of the highest risk clients. So the people you're working with have to be people that are at high risk for shooting. So like, for instance, say a program was trying to implement a cure violence type program. What they ended up doing was this program was in Pittsburgh, and what they ended up doing is they ended up working with people that needed services. They needed drug abuse help. They needed employment. They were unemployed. But what ended up happening is they did not reduce violence because they were not working with people at high risk for reducing violence. So it's key that you choose your clients very carefully. And this is what it looks like. These are the Chicago client characteristics. A lot of people having felony records, 95%. A lot of people involved in gangs. It's essential that you work with these highest risk people. And most programs cannot reach these people. We're able to reach these people because we hire workers that are trusted with this population. And third, you have to work towards behavior change. You have to have a risk reduction plan that you are actually actively have a path forward for this individual that you're working with. And this is what it looks like. Here's a cure violence worker. He has a case folder in front of him where he has his plan for how he's going to move this person forward. And it's really outreach work with risk reduction plans. The third, changing group norms and community norms. This is really using social pressure to reduce violence. The first aspect of this, you have to have responses to shootings within 72 hours. So basically, when a shooting happens right now in communities without cure violence, what happens is nothing. The community doesn't have a voice to say, we don't accept this. What cure violence does is it gives you a forum, the community forum, to say, we don't accept this as okay. This is what it looks like on the street. a shooting happens and we have this march where people hold up signs saying, stop killing people. So it's essential to give the community that voice so people understand that it's not acceptable. And then you have to have public education materials. Once again, this is giving people a voice. They could put up a poster in their store. They could put a bumper sticker on their car. So people see that the community members actually don't accept the violence that's taking place in their community. This is what it looks like. Bumper stickers on our pole. Everywhere in the communities that we work, these messages are put up. And then finally, you have to focus on community norm change. So the messages have to be about community norm change, not promoting your program, not advertising an event, but about community norm change. So here are some of the materials that we put up. Don't shoot, I want to grow up. Stop killing people. About consequences of using violence. All of it very focused on changing behavior and using social pressure to prevent violence. So there we have the three components and the nine essential elements. Just a quick look at some of the results. So we've had a lot of different cities implement a cure violence type program. The cities that do well, a good job of implementation, they implement all nine of these essential elements effectively, they have really strong results, large reductions in violence. When we go to some communities that aren't implementing too well, they do not have fidelity to the model. We see a lot of zeros there in Newark and Phoenix. Well, what we had is increases in violence. So it's really essential with our model that you implement it correctly and you have these essential elements. And when you do implement correctly, this is what we have. Large reductions in violence. This was from an external evaluation funded by the National Institute of Justice. And you see effective, statistically significant results in all communities. And you have large reductions in shootings. A second evaluation was done of a cure violence program in Baltimore. And once again, you see statistically significant results, large reductions in every community. So basically, the cure violence program is a new way of looking at violence. It's not a criminal justice approach. It's a public health approach to reducing violence. It looks at violence as a disease. Now, if you're interested in hearing a little bit more about how we look at violence as a disease, I will be presenting at another session tomorrow at 8:30, and I'll be happy to give you that information if you're interested in that. But this is how the program works, and this is how our model is laid out. Thanks.